To see you here this morning, I add my words of appreciation, those that have already been expressed. A nice spring morning to come out and to worship the Lord. If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 127. We're going to continue this morning a study that we began last week taken from Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house, that is what we're going to talk about. Mike Axe asked me last week why I left the S off of build in the title of this sermon. You may have been thinking that too or wondering about that. This is a combination of the New King James and the King James. The King James leaves the S off and says, "Except the Lord build the house." And so I could have put "except the Lord," but I put "unless," which is the New King James, and then "build," the S is off of that. So that's the reason for that. Not a typo, but a mixing of translations. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We talked last week about the truth of that in the marriage relationship, what that means about building one's house, building one's marriage based upon the principles that God has set forth in His Word. And that's how the Lord builds a house. The Lord builds a house as we make the determination that we are going to build our houses on the Lord. This morning we're going to expand that a little bit and talk about the family relationship and the principle that says, "Unless the Lord build the family, they labor in vain who build it." The point of that being, just as in marriage, so in raising a family, the effort must be based on an understanding of and an application of God's will if we want our family relationship to be everything that God says that the family relationship can be, that we can get the joy and the comfort and the foundation, the stability in the home that the Bible says we can find in the home relationship. In order for that to happen, and the only way that that's going to happen, is if the Lord builds our house, or if we build our house on the Lord. Well, what does it mean that we build our house on the Lord? It means we build it according to the will of God. So what is the will of God for the family relationship? Well, as most sermons like this begin, so this one begins. The Lord builds a house when we base our family relationship on what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that a house consists of a father and a mother and children. You go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see the truth of that and the design of God when He first created man and woman. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 we looked at last week in the husband-wife relationship. Same thing is true in the family relationship. Same basis for saying father and mother and children. It says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" Now there are unfortunate things that happen sometimes, things that are beyond a family's control that cause one of these elements to be missing. And if that is the case, if for reasons beyond control, there are no children in the home, or if a father or a mother is lost through the passing of time, and there is only a father and children, or only a mother and children, and it's beyond anybody's control that happens, that's an okay thing. The Lord's not going to look down upon you because you are striving to the best of your ability, and the circumstances that have come to your household when it is not father, mother, and children. Now that is the truth of the matter. However, "Heather has two mommies" is not biblical. There is a children's book out that is entitled Heather Has Two Mommies, and it is intended to teach children that it is just as okay for a child to have two mommies or a child to have two daddies as it is for a child to have a daddy and a mommy or a father and a mother. Now, while Heather Has Two Mommies may warm the cockles of the hearts of people who have absolutely no interest in the Word of God, we need to understand that there's a direct contradiction between Heather Has Two Mommies and what the will of the Lord is as expressed in the Word of God for the family relationship. Because the family relationship does not consist of two mommies. It does not consist of two daddies. It consists of a mother and a father. And if a family does not consist of mother and father, if it consists of two mommies or two daddies, then it is not built by the Lord. And Solomon says that it is a home whose foundation is built on emptiness. Now, that's the first principle. But lest we think that that's the only thing that the Bible says about the family relationship, I would suggest to you that there are some other very important things that are involved in a family being built by the Lord, or a family building itself upon the foundation of the Lord's will. First of all, concerning this father in the family relationship, the Lord's will is that a father take personal responsibility for his children's physical and spiritual upbringing. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is discussing the church's treatment of widows who are widows indeed. That is, widows who have no children, no relatives that can take care of them. And he says, in that case, when you have a member of the Lord's church whose family cannot take care of them, then the church can become involved in that situation. And they can, as Paul says, be put in, under the role. But understand this in verse 8. Here's the principle. Here's the family principle. And this I would suggest, applies primarily to fathers in this family relationship of father and mother and children. Listen to what he says. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Fathers, it is your responsibility not to give to your children everything that they want. In fact, that hurts a child. To give to a child without question everything that they say, I want this and I want this and I want this. And you just, you know, the tap is open and whatever they want, you just give to them. That's not good. But I'll tell you what your responsibility is. Your responsibility is to take care of everything that your children need. To be sure that they have a roof over their heads. To be sure that they have clothes on their back. To be sure that they have food on their table. And you dare not neglect that responsibility. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and again, this would have particular importance to a father, that they're to no longer still, but let them labor with their hands, working what is good. Fathers, you have a responsibility to go to work. You have a responsibility to use what you gain from that work to provide for your family. But I want to suggest to you that it doesn't stop there. Far from it. There are a lot of fathers in this world who do an awfully good job taking care of their children's physical needs. Big old house, nice clothes, a lot of food on the table. All those kinds of things, and yet they ignore or they do not give to their children what Paul says is extremely important that a father give to his children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, and you fathers, Do not provoke your children to wrath. That doesn't mean, by the way, that you don't ever make them mad. That means you don't do things that are unjust that cause your children to be exasperated. Okay? But do what? But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, it is your responsibility to bring up your children in the training and admonition, that is, the instruction of the Lord, that spiritual instruction. As you are taking care to be careful about their physical needs, Paul says you need to be concerned about their spiritual needs as well. Your children raised to be faithful to the Lord is your responsibility. And I want to emphasize that, fathers. Your children being raised in the way that the Lord wants them to be raised and coming to adulthood, understanding things that God would have them to understand is your responsibility. It is not the preachers. It is not the elders. It is not the Bible class teachers' responsibility. Now, we can aid you. And I think it's important that every father use whatever aid they can get, whether it is the preacher or the elders or the Bible class teacher. They use those aids and they check with those people to be sure that their children are gaining what they need to gain. Fathers, you need to be concerned about what your children are studying in Bible class. You need to know what they are studying and you need to see if they understand it. And they're getting it. But I tell you, when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, when we're all standing before the Lord, I'm not going to stand before the Lord and give an account for whether your children were raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The elders aren't, and the Bible class teacher isn't. Fathers, you are going to stand in before the Lord, and you are going to give an account. That falls squarely on you. What that means, fathers, is that in regard to the spiritual instruction of your children, the buck stops with you. Thirdly, a home that is established by the will of the Lord has a mother who looks to the welfare of her household as her primary responsibility. And again, I would emphasize their primary, not secondary, not just one of, but her primary responsibility. Not her only responsibility, but her primary responsibility is to look to the welfare of her household. How is her household doing? See that in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is instructing Titus what he needs to be instructing members of the church where Titus preaches to be aware of. And he talks to older men, he talks to younger men, he talks to older women and says what they need to be doing, especially in regard to what they need to be teaching younger women that they need to be doing. And notice what he says in verse 4 about these older women. He says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Mothers, whatever else you accomplish in this world, whatever else you accomplish with your life, understand that homemaker is your number one responsibility. Everything else in your life should orbit around that. I know that's not politically correct, but we're not concerned about what's politically correct. In this congregation, we are concerned about what is biblically correct. And Paul tells Titus, you tell those older women that they need to instruct those younger women how to be good wives, how to be good mothers, how to be good homemakers. And you turn over to Proverbs chapter 31, we won't because of time this morning, but you turn over to Proverbs chapter 31, and you read there, beginning at about verse 10, carrying out through the end of the chapter, what he says about the wife whose value is far above rubies. And you see that everything in her life revolves and orbits around the home. She goes out and she considers a field and she purchases it. She goes out and she makes a good business transaction. Why? So she can feel special about herself? Because she's bored with being at home and wants to kind of further her horizon? No. She does that. And she makes a profit at it so that it might benefit her home. She treats her husband the way she treats her husband. Only because she loves him, because it benefits the home. The meals she cooks, the clothes she prepares. All of that for the benefit of her family, her home. Even the wisdom that she speaks for the benefit of her family. Everything orbits around that family relationship. That is the will of God. Or the woman. That's not to say you can't go out and get a job. That's not to say that you can't do things outside the home relationship. Certainly you can. Understand, at the end of the day, your number one responsibility is to that home. The rearing of those children. To be sure that your home is everything that God would have it to be. And then finally, the Lord builds houses. When children honor and obey their parents. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And in chapter 5, he's talked about the husband's responsibility to love his wife, the wife's responsibility to submit herself to her husband, and the wonderful things that happen when those things work. Later on, we saw in verse 4, the father's responsibility to teach his children spiritual things. But look at verses 1 through 3. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You see, young people, the Lord building your house is just as much about your responsibility in the home as it is about your parents' responsibility, about your father's responsibility and your mother's responsibility. The Lord cannot build your home if you are unwilling to live up to the responsibility that the Lord has given to you in that family relationship. What I'm saying to you, young people, is you have a great say. And whether or not your home is built on the foundation of joy and peace and substance that the Lord would have it to be built on, or if it is built on dissatisfaction and misery and emptiness. Right there, what you're reading on that overhead is how the Lord builds a house. Now, for just a moment, I want to specifically address fathers. In Joshua chapter 24, just turn over to Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, the children of Israel have conquered the land under Joshua's leadership. They fought all those battles. They've gained their inheritance. And now it is time for each person to go out, to separate themselves from the group, to go out to the particular place that the Lord has given them to live. And here's Joshua standing before them, right as they are just about to each one go out to their specific place. And Joshua issues a challenge. And the challenge is found there in verse 14. The challenge, he says, is to fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And in verse 15, he calls upon them to make the choice. You choose who you're going to serve. When you go out and you live in your part of the land, you're going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve the gods of the land around here? Then listen to what he says at the end of that verse. End of verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is one of the most important statements about the Lord building a house, I believe, as is contained in all the Bible. It is filled with faith. It is also filled with courage. It is filled with dedication. It is filled with determination. It is all about leadership in the home. You want to know how the Lord builds a house? He builds a house with a father like Caleb, who says, as for me and my house, not we may serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord sometime. I'm going to take a poll of my family and see who wants to serve the Lord. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say, you guys need to choose who you want to serve. You want to serve God or you want to serve the idols of this land? You guys need to make a choice about that. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to poll the family and I'll get back to you on what we're going to do. He doesn't do that, does he? He said, I'll tell you something about me and my house. Me and my house are going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I want to press upon fathers three determinations about your children and your house. First of all, you need to say to your children, in this house, we will reverence the book of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, beginning. Here's what Moses says to the people, and specifically to fathers. He uses the masculine here about these parents and their children. He says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. He's saying, you get that word of God and you get it out front of your family. And you be sure that your family understands what that book is and the importance that it has in your life. And you be sure that it permeates every bit of your family relationship. Now, I'm going to say something right now that's a result of me being old and crotchety. And I'm saying that because some of you are going to come to me and you're going to say, now, wait a minute, don't do that because I'm old and crotchety. And when you're old and crotchety, you can say things like this and people understand you're old and crotchety and they're not going to, and I'm not going to change. Now, here's what I'm going to say about it. I do not like electronic Bibles. I know a bunch of you use them. And I'm not saying don't use your electronic Bibles. Here's what I want to say to you. Nothing sits on top of my Bible. I use other books as a coaster. I will never use my Bible as a coaster. I will throw worn out books away. I will never throw a Bible in the trash can. There's a stack of them in my office, and they're all torn up. I don't know what to do with them, but I'm not going to throw them away. I'm not going to throw them in a trash can. I'll tell you why. Because that book is different than any other book in the world. And we need to understand that. So Jerry, why don't you like electronic Bibles? I think there is something about this. It doesn't have magazine articles in it. It doesn't have the latest Harry Potter book in it. It is singularly the Word of God. Now, here's my point of application. You want to use an electronic Bible? Have at it. You want your children to have an electronic Bible? Have at it. But you be sure that they understand that what's on that Bible app is different from every other app on their cell phone or on their iPad or whatever it is that they are using. In this house, we will rever the book of the Lord like we rever no other book. Be sure that you tell your children that. Secondly, in this house, we will obey the law of the Lord. Deuteronomy again, Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 22, impresses the children of Israel of this right after he says, you need to take that the words of that book and you need to put them on your garments, you need to spread them through the, you know, on the doorposts of the house. Last thing they see when they're leaving every day, first thing they see when they're coming back, right after that. He impresses upon them the need to obey God's law in verse 22. If you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, the love of the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will do all these things for you. Obey that law. You need to tell your children in this house, if the Bible says do it, we do it. And we do it without complaint, and we do it without question. If the Lord says don't do it in this house, we don't do it. And we don't do it with complaint, we don't do it with question. And then finally, in this house, we will worship the Lord. Chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, verse 5, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you will eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You need to tell your children, in this house, we worship the Lord. In this house, we understand the importance, Hebrews 10 and verse 25, of not forsaking the assembly of the saints. And we will not do that. Fathers, what can you do to instruct your children in the way that they should go? I'm going to tell you what I told my children and what I think you would do well to tell your children. One time, my daughter decided to tell me that she didn't want to go to school anymore. And I didn't explain to her the benefits of a good education. She didn't want to know that. I'll tell you what I told her. I said, well, sorry. In this house, we go to school. And one of the reasons we go to school is because if you don't show up at school and you don't have a good excuse for it, they're not going to come get you. They're going to come get me. And I'm not going to jail so you cannot go to school. Guess what? I told my children I'm not going to hell so that they can do what they want to either. What can you do for your children? You can say to your children, the food on our table, and the clothes that we wear, and the warm beds that we sleep in under the comfort of this roof, and the luxuries that we enjoy as part of this household, all of those things are the product of the benevolence of a loving and generous Lord who richly gives us all things to enjoy. And everyone in this house will honor the book of the Lord. Everyone in this house will obey the law of the Lord. And everyone in this house will go to the house of the Lord and offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for who the Lord is and for what the Lord has done. You want the Lord to build your house, fathers. That's the way you do it. And that's our sermon for this morning. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That was true 3,000 years ago when Solomon first penned it, and it is just as true today. The Lord builds our homes when we build our homes on the Lord. And the same thing is true for every aspect of your life. The invitation of the Lord is the invitation to turn your life over to Him. Let Him purify your life. And let Him build something wonderful with your life. Can we help you respond to the invitation of Jesus to come to Him? If we can, let us know how we can by coming forward right now while together we stand and sing.